Cruising Sunday night, WJPA. Yeah, let's go for a ride. We're going to go for a great ride tonight because Mike Side with me tonight, one of the legends of the local folks here, Ron King, is with us tonight, and he is in the studio. First song, Carol Ann, for the Regent Sound Studios in New York City. He was just 17 years old back then. Ron continued to write and record many original songs throughout the years with the Windsors, Ronnie King and the Passions, and also as a solo artist. We've got a great number of those tunes to share with you tonight, and let's bring in our guest, Mr. Ron King. Ron, how are you, sir?
I am wonderful. I'm glad to be a guest here on Cruising Sunday Night with you, George. It's going to be fun.
It is. So why don't you give us a little bit of background on this song, Lone Brown in Laramie.
Okay, Lone Brown's in Laramie was kind of a... Before the Holly Golly, you know, many years later, they came out with a Holly Golly, and it was like, gee, they came up with my song. And so I was about 21 years old, living in Washington, playing music, playing in the local bars and what have you. And I just kind of got this idea. It's pure fiction, obviously, when you listen to the song. And I needed some background singers. And so there was a shoeshine parlor on Main Street right where Washington Jewelry is now, and two or three of the shoeshine fellows in there were always singing all the time, so I needed some background singers, and I said, hey, fellas, how would you like to make a record? And of course, you know, anyway, oh, yeah, sure, of course. So I got some money together, and we went down to Pittsburgh on Grand Street, and there was a new fellow there by the name of Glenn Campbell. Not the famous Glenn Campbell,
right,
but his name was Glenn Campbell, too, and he had just built one of the first independent recording studios in the area. And there with Bill Bradley, Tommy Bell, and Jackie Pettit, the musicians, and the fellas from the Shoeshine Parlor, we cut this song, Lone Brown's in Laramie.
And here it is for you right now on Cruisin' Sunday Night.
Said to Brown, we're gonna have some fun. And with that, Magoon went for his gun. Magoon told Brown, I's gonna fill you full of lead. Brown pulled his gun and shot off Magoon's head. Off of me.
Body of Killer Magoon, Lone Brown. He wears a frown. He's not a child. He's got mouth. Lone Brown's in Laramie. Lone Brown's in Laramie. Lone Brown's in Laramie. Lone Brown's in Laramie.
Cruising Sunday. Monday night, WJPA, Lone Browns in Laramie. What year was that, Ron?
Was about 1961 when we cut that in downtown Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
All right, we already had a caller.
So. Yeah, Deb Rubis from Houston, who used to work at the Country Meadows, and I used to go out there and sing for the patients. She was always great about hiring me. I'd go out and do my shtick. What a lovely, lovely lady. And she called in and she said, "Hey, Ron, do something nice for me." So I think what we might do off of the old CD here, Ron King Original Oldies, is do a song that was made in Regent Sound Studios in about 1957. Regent Sound Studios was just off Broadway. And the group I had at that time called themselves the Windsors, George. And
okay.
That was Patsy Andy, who's no longer with us, unfortunately. Larry Namy, Bob Easingwood, and myself. We got on a Greyhound bus. And
wow.
When we are juniors in high school, we go to New York, get ourselves lost in Macy's, almost can't make it to the recording session. We came out a different door than we went in. No one told us that Macy's and company, was around several blocks. You go in
right.
The wrong door and you're in another town, you know, maybe another county. We came out and we didn't see anything.
Wow.
So anyway, we recorded this song at Regent Sound Studios, the same studio that 16 Candles and Silhouettes were cut in. And we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Sure. But what year? 1959.
But no, this was about 1957, 58, around there.
Okay.
I think I was just getting ready to graduate from high school. I graduated
okay.
in 58, so I think this would have been about 57. And there is a great sax solo on this. There's a fellow by the name of King Curtis who just has all kind of credentials as far as being a saxophone player. You're talking about yakety sax and just a whole.
Right.
And we went up there, just these kids, and this is King Curtis. You got to be kidding.
Curtis part of the Atlantic stable?
Absolutely. But he
Records.
Also was a studio musician.
Wow.
What would happen, the culture of it was, we get up there and a bunch of cabs start pulling up, and these guys jump out of a cab with their guitar cases or their sax or what
wow.
have you, and they didn't have to drag drums because there was always a drum kit in the studios. And these guys would come in and they would do a 3-hour union session.
Wow.
At the end of the 3 hours, the union man was there. He'd stick out his hand and, you know, get his due and declare the session null and void. And if you didn't get it right, well, God bless you because you're done, man.
Wow.
And the Italians, Puerto Ricans, and everybody else, they jump in the cabs and they'd be heading to the next studio. So that
wow.
was the culture of how we made this song.
Okay, it's Keep Me From Crying. Here are the Windsors and Ron King cruising Sunday night. Jason, Sunday Night, WJPA. That's the Windsors, Ron King, doing the vocals there. Ron, well, I'll tell you what, you are just a wealth of rock and roll information. you fill in a lot of the blanks. I remember from some of the conversations we had up the street at one of the local eateries, we had sat down and you were telling me some of the things. Ron, I want to know when the book is coming out, because there is just so many pieces missing from the Pittsburgh recording roster that you have provided that I'm just sitting total awe.
If I'm going to write a book pretty soon, I better do it, because as the years go by, some of the fine details are starting to float away, as it were.
Well, you are just a wealth of knowledge, and I've had many of the folks that you knew as peers back in your day. Uh-huh. Jimmy Beaumont was a guest on the program.
Sure.
Also, Meet Me at Midnight Mary, Joey Powers.
Yes,
was
Joey
a guest on
Powers
the
from Washington, PA. As a matter of fact, to my knowledge, Joey Powers, who lived down in Tylerdale and went to Wash High,
He's
the only fellow in Washington that ever made it to the national charts. And if I'm not mistaken, he was number one on the Hot 100 Billboard charts for 1 week until the Beatles displaced him.
That is true, because Joey shared that particular information with me as a guest on the program earlier this past year. And he also, one thing that we do possess here at WJPA, his gold record is hanging on the wall.
You own Joey's gold record.
We have Joey's gold record.
Well, I tell you that's great, you know.
Yeah, we have his gold record and Meet Me at Midnight Mary, which was his major claim to fame. But you know what? A lot of the people like the flip of that, which is called Where Do You Want the World Delivered?
Okay.
It was a ballad record, and we'll have to break that out sometime and play it for you. But anyway, we're going to get back to you. Mainly this particular part of the program is about you.
Yes.
Some of the people that you came in contact in the early days that went on to high acclaims of fame.
Well, let me tell you about Joey Powers. As I say, he went to Wash High, and I did too, and Joey was about possibly 4 years before me. So I might still have been in seventh grade at Fifth Ward or in eighth grade, but I go to this thing called the Spring Concert, and Joey Powers, who I never saw before in my life, is in the chorus, and they're putting on the Spring Concert. And Joey comes out on the stage in this white dinner jacket, and the females in the auditorium go berserk. And that very moment was the beginning of Ronnie King being in show business. And he sang, he crooned some ballad. I can't remember what it was. But it's ironic that even though he was in the chorus, at Washington High School, he did go on. He became Joey Rogers for a while.
Yes.
And then he changed his name to Joey Powers, and he had Midnight Mary, that one hit. And before his career was all over, he went down to New Jersey, and he had a real nice recording studio there. And then the last I heard before he returned back to Washington, he was in Russia, the Ukraine, someplace, recording contemporary Christian music for the Russians.
Yes.
And then, there's an interesting interview. You say you've had him in already before, though,
and,
huh?
And I do have some of the memorabilia. I'll break it out. I do have some of it here, so I'll get you a chance to actually see some of it. Getting back, besides Joey, there had to have been some other people that you basically knew that were in the
Absolutely. What was happening is when, there was a singing group, a doo-wop group on every corner, and we were all trying to make a record, and so I spent as much time in Pittsburgh visiting all the record producers, and I started bumping into everybody over there.
Right.
Got to meet the Fenways that later on became the Jaggers and
the Racket Squad.
The Racket Squad.
Sure.
got the group called the Raconteurs that went on to be Tommy James' backup group. Tommy James is up in Detroit, Michigan, someplace, shooting pole. Nothing is happening with the dude. He's not working. He's not going to school. He's literally shooting pole in the afternoons. And a real crazy character by the name of Mad Mike Mattress on a little AM station in Carnegie called WZUM gets an old copy of Hanky Panky, and for whatever reason, because like I say, he was a little strange, he started playing that song and playing that song and playing that song, and pretty soon the teenagers in Pittsburgh were going to the stores and demanding it. Well, they didn't have it. He had created a demand for something that does not exist, and marketers hate that concept.
Sure.
So pretty soon, the little dinky record company up in Michigan decided they better press up a few copies.
Yep.
So Tommy James comes down, and he's interviewed by Mike Mattress at WZUM, and Mike says, hey, I know these guys that might be willing to help you out. So he puts the Raconteurs with Tommy James, and they start touring. Doing Hanky Panky.
Wow.
And anyway, you know, as they say, the rest is history.
Wow.
He goes up to see Morris Levy at Roulette Records, which is another story in itself.
Oh, yes.
And he just had all kind of hits. Then he got into psychedelia with
Crimson and Clover.
Crystal Persuasion. He did that on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Right.
And he had a million sellers.
Right.
When he came off, the orders started.
Right.
And I don't know that they had but 300 records pressed.
Wow.
And, so there was a guy shooting pool. Circumstances took him to the top of the charts.
Right.
We got to meet him. The Del Vikings. I did many, many different record hops with them. And people like the Cadillacs and the Clovers. And then in the 60s, the Temptations and Smokey Robinson. I used to get to hang out with those guys.
Guy was Smokey?
Smokey was just the nicest guy that you could imagine. I'll tell you this little story, this anecdote. I'm backstage in the Stanley Theater. It's the Benedict them now where they have all the oldie shows. And the manager for Smokey's group is saying, come on, Smoke, come on. We're going to be late. We got to catch we got an aeroplane to catch. And so Smokey and his group are blasting off stage, backstage, and a little girl comes up to Smokey and says, Mister, could I have your autograph? He stopped in his tracks when he's late for catching a plane.
Wow.
He kneels down on one knee, asks her name, couldn't have been nicer, signed whatever she had, jumped up and ran out the back door of the Stanley Theater.
Wow.
What kind of guy was he? You couldn't find a nicer guy, in my opinion.
That's what I always hear. Everybody always is in concurrence about that, because Smokey is one of the epitome of the nicest people you'll probably ever run into in the rock and roll.
When the Motown Review would tour from town to town, they always had a manager with him, a road manager, and he also played bass, too. Well, he was like a general of an army.
Wow.
Those people kept their mouth shut. They minded their manners. They all had been taught manners and etiquette and how to handle themselves with other people by Berry Gordy. He went out and got a Miss Manners and taught those guys how to eat and put napkins on
that
their lap.
That lady had just passed away this past week, I do believe, because Pete Ted had read a story in the morning show about that, and I'll have to look the article up, but she had just passed away. She was basically the etiquette school that taught all the Motown stable, you know, how to dance, how to behave, how to do all these different things. And they were well-groomed. All these people were the epitome of
well-groomed. Well, George, you have to remember that these people were pretty much out of the ghetto. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just acting the way they normally acted, you know. And
right.
He says, well, if we're going to do anything with this operation, and Barry was cool enough to know to realize that he was going to manage them, they were going to be on his record company, and they were going to be on the Motown booking agency.
Sure.
And so every way that they could make a dime, Barry made sure that he got his dime also.
Right. Built an empire. So let's get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to another cut off of your CD, and the name of this tune is called Carol Ann. Give me some background on Carol Ann.
Okay, Carol Ann was actually the A side. We just heard Keep Me From Crying, the last song. Carol Ann was actually the A side of that 45 record, but although we got regional airplay and I would term it a regional turntable hit. We weren't selling a lot, but boy, we were doing TV and we were doing, dance parties and we were on the radio and Wheeling and Charleroi and every place else. But at any rate, Carol Ann was made at Region Sound Studios 2, the same recording session on the same day as Keep Me From Crying. So we made two songs. This is the other song that we made.
Here it is, Carol Ann. And this is Ron King and the Windsors, Cruisin' Sunday Night. Sunday night, WJPA, Ron King, the Windsors, and Carol Ann taking you back to the glory days of rock and roll. We're going to take a break here, pay some bills, and back with more of the Cruisin' Sunday Night Show.
Where do you go for a great car deal?
This is Gary Flannery at Washington Hyundai. Have you heard? Best car for the money, top safety pick, an American hit. The most successful car company in America. That's what the experts are saying about Hyundai. Test drive a new Hyundai, you'll buy a new Hyundai. And America's best warranty seals the deal. 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain protection and Hyundai Assurance. A member of our great staff will work with you to help you choose the model that's best for you and your family. See us today at Washington Hyundai, a division of the Washington Auto Mall, Route 19 at Strabane Square. It's a better place to shop for a car. WashingtonPAHyundai.com.
Washington, all along, we make buying fun. Dynamite deals right here today. Come on in, you're number one. WJPA is an equal opportunity employer and hires without regard to race, religion, gender, sexual orientation, or disability.
All right, coming up on 6:28, and we're Mike's side with Ron King of Ron King Productions. Ron was one of the foragers of the early days of rock and roll, and one of the local talents here in Washington, Pennsylvania. You know, we do have a musical treasure with some of the folks that went on to do some fine things here. You're one of them, Joey Powers, and many, many other people that were local. Look at Mr. Como. Look at Mr. Vinton from Cannonsburg. There's just a wealth of music here in this area, and I'm just so honored to be part of it here in the city and be on this radio station. Uh-huh. That some of these songs probably were actually forged here in its early days, because WJPA has basically been around since 1942. Mm-hmm. And so the radio station's history even goes back to the days when some of these songs were played as newies, if you will.
Yes.
So, you know, it's just a wonderful thing to be in broadcasting and know about all this stuff and be able to talk to folks like you. Let's go with another song off of your CD. It's called They Don't Know. Give us some background on this, Ron.
Okay. All the music was great. I was a weekend warrior, like many, many of my friends, and we actually needed daytime jobs. So I went to Washington Hospital, and I became an X-ray technician, and that was my day job. And then on the weekends, I'd be at frat parties and what have you. Well, across from the X-ray department was the laboratory, and there was a lab tech in there, a female lab tech, and her name was Darlene Young. And she was always humming and singing and the whole bit. And so I said, I'm always looking for the next thing. And on the radio at that time, wouldn't you know, is, hey, hey, Paul, won't you marry me? Paul and Paula. That was the song du jour.
Right.
And so I'm talking to Darlene. She can sing, and I think, you know, I'm going to write a song real quick. And so we practice. I used to take her home. My wife was a real, real gem. My wife was a nurse at Washington Hospital. She'd leave supper for Darlene and me. Aww. She'd go off to work. Darlene and I would have supper. And then we'd practice out on the front porch of where I lived. This tiny, tiny little street out in Fifth Ward called East Avenue.
Wow.
It's hardly there anymore. Because W&J bought most of it up. So we practiced this thing up, and when I went back to Glenn Campbell's studio, Universal Studio, on Grand Street,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the Gypsy Cried was made, by the way. And
wow.
Yeah,
Lou Christie,
yeah,
Pittsburgh's own
Mr. Luigi Sacco,
yes.
A.K.A. Lou Christie,
yes.
Had just done the Gypsy Cried and was just finishing it up when Darlene Young, and just for the sake of alliteration, it was I called it Ron and Robin. Her name was Darlene, but I changed it to Robin, and she didn't mind. And so here was this Ron and Robin song, and we got a lot of airplay on this. This came so close to getting on a major label. Took it down to Bill Lawrence in the a record distributor in Pittsburgh, and he really liked it, and he tried to get it on a major label, but there was just as things happen sometimes, you know, just one small mistake or something. Somebody forgot to take a demo to somebody,
sure.
And it was not on a major label. So we put it out on a label called Luanda, which was run by another character by the name of Odell Bailey. He was a black guy who lived in Belts Hoover, and what? He ran his record company out of his laundry room.
Wow.
In his house in Belts Hoover. And when I would go to visit Odell, only the two of us could be in his office. There was not room for the.
Wow.
I took my brother-in-law over there one time, and he had to stay out by the freezer.
Wow.
He couldn't get into the office. So anyway.
What year are we talking about here?
Okay, we're talking about 1963, just before the Beatles came to America. That would be about 1963.
All right. They Don't Know.
Yeah.
Here's Ron King and Robin Young.
Yes.
Cruising Sunday night.
No, they don't know.
Cruising Sunday night, WJPA, and coming up on 6:34, and one of the classics off of the CD, Ron King, original oldies, and we'll let you tell them how they can actually possess that particular, this CD.
Ron King Original Oldies, you can, if you go to cdbaby.com, you'll find a little search block right there. Just type in Ron King, K-I-N-G, and a couple of my CDs will pop up. One of them is called Ron King Original Oldies that you're listening to right now. And then later on, we're going to get into another CD, one I just made a couple of years ago, and it's called Ron King His Place. So, CD. That's the letter C, the letter D, cdbaby.com. Type in Ron King, and you'll see the albums there, and you can purchase them right there if you have a mind to do so.
Sure. And the guy with the Donnybrooks, you know him rather well, don't you?
Oh, Bobby Shawn. Yeah, Bobby and I used to have a TV show, the Ron King Show, out of Mount Lebanon Cable TV.
Sure.
And when I needed a guest or I got stood up or something, I'd call Bobby, and Bobby'd come running over. And, he's been singing. As a matter of fact, when my first record came out, Carol Ann and Keep Me From Crying, Bobby Shawn of Cannonsburg was singing with a group called the Donnybrooks.
Yep.
And I can remember actually being down on the same show at the Cannonsburg Armory. It was a Saturday night, and it was a teenage dance. The Windsors appeared there, and we lip-synced our record. And then Bobby came in with the Donnybrooks and did a song called Breaking the Glass or something.
Yes, Break the Glass, Ring the Bell.
There you go. That's
there you
it.
Go. I'll have to dig that out.
Yeah. You have it in the archives here?
I have it in the archives here. Bobby was a guest on the show many times.
Uh-huh.
And, he was quite a wealth of knowledge. Just like the gentleman that was here a couple of years back. You remember him, the guy that did a tune called Linda Lee.
Oh, Buddy Sharp from Burgettstown.
Buddy Sharp and the Shakers.
Buddy Sharp and the Shakers was out sharping and shaking again at the same time. Porky Chadwick would drag a lot of different groups around to his record hops because it was number one, free entertainment. He
sure.
could always say on his show, hey, be with us tonight. The Windsors will be down at the Electric Banana or what
right.
have you.
Sure.
And then the girls would all go nuts and they'd run down and Porky would end up with all the money. But we'd end up with a lot of fun, you know, and
sure.
it was a good time. We never complained that that Porky didn't pay anybody. But Buddy Sharp, I can remember one particular night, I was not on this bill. So Buddy Sharp was down at the Lebanon Lodge, which is getting across the street from the Galleria in South Hills. The,
sure.
The Galleria Mall that's down there.
I know that area
okay,
well.
Okay, right down at that big intersection, there was a place called the Lebanon Lodge. Later on, it became Bimbo's, where they used to do all kind of jazz music, and they would have peanuts on the floor and everything.
Sure.
But anyway, back in the 50s, Buddy Sharp is there. My group goes down, and we're just, you know, watching, maybe trying to learn something. Buddy Sharp gets out, and he literally, in the middle of the instrumental break, he hits the floor and starts writhing on the floor, for lack of a better word. And we kept thinking to ourselves, what's he doing to his suit? I mean, this thing is going to be so filthy. But the girls were going nuts, and they were clapping. And,
wow.
You know, Buddy was having one of those seizures that the Amish might have.
Right.
Somebody, when they're at church, I don't know.
Yeah.
And anyway, he was fun. He was a nice guy. He had a producer by the name of Joe Averback, who owned Phoebe Records in
sure.
New York. I mean, not in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Joe's house many times, and even his little record distributorship. Back in those days, anybody could become a record distributor, and
sure.
Joe was one of them. And he was out on Fifth Avenue,
sure.
where they sell all the wholesale suits, and you can get the matzo ball soup and everything else.
Right.
You get the
sure.
idea. So I went into his distributorship, and when you talk about a whole in the wall.
Wow.
There were holes all over the floor. And I walked in and I said, hi, Joe, how you doing? And my foot went through the floorboards. And
wow.
I sprained my ankle. And Joe had a heck of a time getting my foot back up through the floor. Well, Needless to say, I'd call him up after that. Wow. Going to visit Joe. But Joe Averback had Phoebe Records.
Yes.
And he really believed in Buddy Sharp.
Yep. And that was home to Chuck Corby and Quiet Storm. And also, of course, who was the other one?
The Dell Vikings.
Dell Vikings, of course, the main attraction for Phoebe Records back in the day. But Joe was a leading force in the Pittsburgh music scene, as well as Lenny Martin, who was orchestra leader for the for the Skyliners back in the day.
Yeah, and someone had mentioned, maybe you're the one that told me, that Lenny Martin used to be head of the KDKA orchestra back in the days when they actually had live
orchestras
and
at KDKA. Sure.
Yeah. Bill Lawrence and Lenny Martin and a couple of attorneys down on Grand Street, they all get together. They put Calico Records together. They take Joe Rock as the manager, and they take Beaumont and the girl singer Janet.
Janet Dean. Yeah,
they go to Capitol.
Janet Vogel.
They go to Capitol Studios in New York City, and they cut that colossal record, Since I Don't Have You.
Which, by the way, is a movie.
Yeah.
It's about the life of Janet Dean, Janet Vogel, rap, who she had quite a colorful life with the group and a lot of pain and a lot of sorrow there. But the lady, that was a rarity in those days because she looked good and she could sing. That gal could sing. There was just something about her. If you saw her in some of the clips, the old monochrome clips, there was just something about her. She just had that draw, and she could sing.
Oh, yeah, absolute charisma. I've seen the clip many times where Beaumont, or they're on some TV show. It's black and white.
Sure.
And somebody has put a cowboy hat on Beaumont. Well, it wasn't his finest visual moment.
Right.
But Janet had some kind of, like, saloon girl outfit on, and she looked great.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But they were something else. Anyway, let's get back to your music. Why don't we pick up on another song here? Ronnie King and the Passions. Now we've knocked it up a notch. You are with a different group now.
Uh-huh.
Give us some background on this song, I've Found Love.
I've Found Love. Okay, what was happening is the Four Seasons, they had come on the radio with Sherry. So I've moved on. Paul and Paula didn't make it for me. And now I'm into a Four Seasons shtick. And so I go out and I get this young lady from Cannonsburg High School, and she's playing a glockenspiel, you know. that's like a portable xylophone for those of you who are... who don't know. I didn't know what, but it's bing, 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 and it's in the thing, in the record. So we recorded this with at Gateway Studios.
Sure.
The National Record Mart was raising its head all over the place, and most of the record stores in the whole tri-state area were National Record Marts.
Yes.
And they had decided to over their headquarters store in Market Street in Pittsburgh, they built Gateway Studios.
Wow.
And so I went down there, and this is one of the first records that I made there. So I Found Love is Ronnie King and the Passions, a new group.
What year are we talking?
Okay, we're talking again about 1963 now, I believe.
Sure.
Drew Lesso from Strabane Township. He's now a piano tuner out in L.A., has been for many, many years. Clinton Rush, they call him Dink. He was our bass player.
Wow.
And as far as I know, Clint Rush is still a OR technician at Washington Hospital. I believe he's still working. And Jim Keeler, who I believe was in Florida for the longest time and a couple of years ago returned to the Washington area. Last I heard, he was living in Houston, Pennsylvania. So we'll be listening then to Ronnie King and the Passions and I've Found Love.
All right, here it is, Cruising Sunday Night.
Oh,
WJPA. Ronnie King of the Passions, I've Found Love. And 646, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back with more of the Cruisin' Sunday Night Show in just a bit.
Will the Pirates finally get back to the playoffs? Hear Bucco Baseball on WJPA AM 1450. Brought to you in part by Dominic's of New York, Smith Suburban Supply, Dean's Water, Oil, and Hardware, McKean Plumbing and Heating, and Bowser Cadillac. The race for the division title and wild card spots will go down to the wire. Don't miss the excitement of Pirates Baseball on WJPA AM 1450. Also brought to you by Bruno Plumbing and Heating, John Sisson's Used Car Superstore, Bull International, West Penn Villiers, and Keith Owen Campbell, Attorney at Law. Buying or selling a home? Satisfied customers recommend Mike and Margie Ross of Keller Williams.
Truthfully, the difference between Mike and Margie and our previous realtor they worked for us, right. They got through the difficult situations. They got through the difficult problems that we had in selling the house. Definitely more knowledgeable, more informed, informed us better.
Our new home's perfect for us.
It is exactly what we needed.
Exactly what we wanted.
We couldn't have been happier, and we ended up being friends.
Call Mike and Margie, 724-941-9400, extension 202. MikeandMargie.com.
Mark your calendar for these exciting events in Ogilvy. Ogilvy Fest is October 4th through 6th. Boo at the Zoo is October 11th to the 13th, October 18th to the 20th, and October 25th to 27th. And everyone's favorite holiday tradition, the Winter Festival of Lights, begins November 8th. Visit www.ogilvy-resort.com or call 304-243-4000. And be sure to friend Ogilvy on Facebook.
Hi, this is Dale, and I'll be live at the WCCF office from 4 to 6 p.m. Tuesday to help celebrate the WCCF's Day of Giving for Washington County Charities. Donate online to registered WCCF Gives Charities, and your gift will be matched with a part of a $100,000 match pool. Learn more at WCCFGives.org, and don't miss our live broadcast. Stop by to win prizes Tuesday from 4 till 6 with me, Dale, at WCCF Gives. Look for the tent next to the Chapman Building on South Main Streets in Washington.
I am with Mr. Ron King, and Ron King of the Windsors, and also Ron King of Ronnie and the Passions, and many, many other groups that this gentleman was part of back in the day when rock and roll was king. And Ron, we really have had a great night with you here tonight, bringing back some of these memories and some of the fine folks that have called in to say, hey, you know, you knew all these different people. And
I'm just amazed at all the telephone calls we're getting. You do this and you hope people are listening. Well, from all the calls, a lot of folks are listening, and we thank everybody that's tuned in this evening.
Sure. Want to thank everybody that's listening. All right, we've got another song here. It's called Quite Like You, Babe, and this was on the Scotty record label. Or
let's do
Girl Breakaway.
Girl Breakaway, yeah.
Girl Breakaway.
Let's do that one.
Okay, Girl Breakaway. What was the year for this one, Ron?
Okay, we're getting on to about 1966, 67, when psychedelic music is starting to raise its head.
Sure.
And we're starting to get groups like Strawberry Alarm Clock and Jefferson Airplane.
Crazy Elephant, give me good lovin'. Yes.
Yeah. And bubblegum music is coming into the...
Hooray for Hazel, Tommy Rowe.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So bubblegum music was... perhaps, in my opinion, the low point in American music at that time,
right.
And a lot of people who were producing records thought so. But it was a lot of fun, and, take some flowers to your hair, San Francisco, all that.
Sure. Scott McKenzie, yes.
Oh, yes. Good stuff. Now, I like a lot of that stuff. So psychedelic music was raising its head, and although this wasn't psychedelic music, Eric Burdon and the British invasion had come to our shores at about the same time, too. And so he had a song, We Gotta Get Out of This Place.
Sure.
And so that's all I needed. I never stole songs verbatim at all, but I would take the ambiance, the flavor, maybe a piece of the idea. So
and just weave it in.
We Gotta Get Out of This Place becomes Girl Break Away, Get Out of This Place with You and Me. Gotta,
there you go.
Escape from the ghetto, you see.
All right.
And some of the web pages have said that this might have been the beginning of punk rock. This song has been released on compilations all over the world.
Wow.
And there are probably maybe literally hundreds of garage rock compilations, and this thing always sits on the top. It's usually the first or the second cut. It was unbelievable. People must think that this puppy was really good.
Girl, Breakaway. Yes. Here it is. Ronnie King and the Passions, Cruisin' Sunday Night. Sunday night, WJPA, Girl Breakaway, Ronnie King of the Passions, Gateway Records, and Ron, a little bit of somebody called in to tell us to give us a little bit of a correction.
Fellow by the name of, last name's Ruschel. He called me to task, and he is absolutely right. A fellow by the name of Dave Ruschel was the guitar player on that, and a fellow by the name of Don Greer Sr., was the bass player on that. So please forgive me. I'm starting to get some years on me, and some of the details are starting to fade. But Mr. Ruschel, you were absolutely right. Dave Ruschel and Don Greer, who lived in the Tylerdale Maple Terrace area, were on that record. So we give them their due credits, and I thank them very much for being a part of this whole thing back then. And even now.
Sure. Well, anyway, Ron, I want to thank you for being a guest on the program. You're such a wealth of musical knowledge. We hope to do it up again sometime again.
Okay.
Coming up,
hey, let a year pass by or something.
We'll bring you back in here and have a great time. And what are you doing nowadays? What are some of the things that you're doing now?
Well, basically what happened, George, I did all this when I was young in high school and then into about my 30s. And then I decided that I'm getting tired of the rock and roll life, and I went on to be an X-ray technician. And I was still a weekend warrior and the whole bit, but eventually I laid down the music, built a little recording studio here in town. And so for about 40 years, I personally was not the artist, although I liked recording other groups and that sort of thing. I did that for the long longest time. And I worked on radio and Christian TV in Pittsburgh, too. But about 8 years ago, I got a yen to start performing again. And so I started singing at county fairs. I just did the West Alexander Fair this past Tuesday.
Wow.
And last...